Welcome, everybody, to the West Coast Marketing Hour. I'm Paul Roberts. I'm your host. And today we're fortunate enough to have as our next guest, Doug Gefeltman. Doug has been an executive coach here in Orange County for a number of years. And I'm going to let him give you his credentials because they're long and I don't want to screw them up here. So, Doug, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into executive coaching and give us your background here.
Well, Paul, thanks for having me on the show today. It's a pleasure, kind of a privilege here to be interviewed by the founder of OC Talk Radio.
Oh, come on. We're not supposed to say that. Well, it's interesting to me because, you know, before I met you, I didn't know anything about executive coaching. And so I've learned a lot about the power of it, the potential of it. And, you know, just tell us a little bit about how you got into it and what is it.
Okay, let's see if I can keep it short and succinct. I have been a master certified coach for 14 years now, which means I got into coaching fairly early. You hear lots of people talk about how they've been coaching for 30 years. I don't doubt it, but as a recognized profession, it's relatively a new profession, maybe for the last 15 years. Like I say, I'm a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation, which is the self-regulating licensing agency for coaches around the world.
Okay. Is there more than one, or is that the one?
That is the one. There are many coaching schools, many places to go for training, but if you want to become certified, the ICF is the place to do it and the recognized authority in this area.
Okay.
I got into coaching. Let me back up for a minute. I was in the residential construction business. I had my own residential building company for almost 20 years. And in the early 90s, decided I wanted to do something else and bought the first franchise for Renaissance Executive Forums with the idea of facilitating and putting together executive peer groups for CEOs here in Orange County. After the first year, I very quickly discovered that people came to the meeting, had lots of good intentions, took notes, walked away, came back the next month, blew the dust off their notes, and had done nothing about it. You know, we're all guilty of that. Right. It's like going to any seminar. You walk away all charged up, and then you get back to the office, and you fall back into the regular routine. So what I was looking for was, obviously, how am I going to keep people in my executive groups if they aren't really making change in their life? Mm-hmm. Obviously, entertainment value, that's not my field. There's lots of people better at entertainment than I am. So I had heard of coaching. I got interested in coaching, started to explore the field, picked the CTI, who is up in San Rafael, California, as the company that I felt would give me the best training, and went through their program to be trained as a coach, and then ultimately applied to the ICF for certification. And certification in coaching is a relatively involved process. You, one, have to be professionally trained by an approved school, and two, you have to have put in hours of both supervised and unsupervised coaching, and the number of hours in some ways determines the licensing. And then there's examinations that you go through. So
it's more than just paying a fee and suddenly poof, you're a coach here.
You know, I wish that was it. They won't even let me do that on the renewal of my coaching license.
Okay.
Every 3 years, I have to go back through the program and show that I have put in so many hours of coaching. I have to have taken educational credits to make sure that I'm staying up with what is going on in my field, and basically reprove that I deserve to hold that kind of certification.
So what does an executive coach do? We all have an image of somebody as a baseball coach or a, you know, basketball coach. I'm a big basketball fan, and I always remember the quote of Michael Jordan, who said, "Everybody, even the best, needs to be coached. You know, I can't do it all alone. Somebody has to point out to me what I'm doing wrong." So what does an executive coach do?
Well, let me answer that. The easiest way to answer it is to tell you what a coach does not do.
Okay.
Okay. Because there are there's a lot of confusion in that area. I mean, a psychologist is really focused, and I am not one, so forgive me if I don't have the definition right. But they're focused on looking at your history to figure out why you're having problems today. They're going into the past. Consultants, you hire a consultant because they are the expert and they're going to give you the answer to the problem that you have.
Right. At least their version of the answer.
At least their version. Coaching does none of those things. Coaching approaches the client with the premise that he or she is well, healthy, intelligent, and capable of solving their own problems, but is probably blocked in terms of the way they're thinking about arriving at a solution.
Okay.
So coaching is all about altering the client's perspective on the issues, about getting them to look at their problems or issues from a different perspective. Thinking outside the box would be an appropriate term, a little overused. It's all about once you arrive at looking at things differently, it's about accountability. The coach holds the client accountable to see that they actually follow through and do what they're supposed to be doing. And that's what coaching is really all about. I'll tell you, it is an extremely satisfying and rewarding field to be in.
I'll bet, because you get to, and probably interesting, because you get to dabble in lots of different businesses without having to dive into it yourself. I mean, you get to sample lots of different things, fields and stuff, I would imagine.
Well, you know, and let me, before I answer that, say that when I left the building business, I really questioned what would I be able to find to do that would give me as much satisfaction as physically seeing buildings go up and families move in and knowing that I was responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found that coaching gives me that same sort of thrill. The only difference is the buildings I built were more publicly acknowledged. Mm-hmm, whereas sure. The impact that I'm having on people's lives is a confidential thing between me and them. And that is the key to coaching. Coaching is all about confidentiality.
Well, I'm going to break that confidentiality a little bit here for all those who are listening to this either live or on a podcast later, because Doug was my coach and mentor through the process of creating this radio station. I had been in marketing for 20 years and still have an independent PR and marketing company called West Coast Marketing, therefore the name of the show, but had similarly kind of come to the end of a road for whatever reason. I don't know why you got out of building. Maybe it was just, it sounds like you got out at a good time because the 90s is when it was starting to go south there, so it sounds like you beat the trend before it went down. But I've similarly had the experience where I was looking to evolve into something else, and Doug helped me to focus that and to find that. And as he said, help me stay accountable for doing it. We had a few phone calls, and the phone calls were like, what did you do? Did you do this again? You know, the type of stuff that as an independent person I don't get. There's nobody over me. You know, I can always put off what I'm doing. Is my experience similar? Is that part of it, just holding people accountable for change?
That is a big part of it, you know, is holding people accountable. And you know, if you look at it sequentially, which really coaching, it would be nice if it was wrapped up in a nice, neat package and worked sequentially, but it usually doesn't. It's first about getting the client to identify what they really want.
Right.
What do you want to change in your life? Where do you want to go? What is your life all about? And then it's about identifying what's in the way, what's standing in your way of reaching that desired position.
And that's, I'm gonna stop you for 1 second there, because I'm going to react to these as you say them. I didn't know what I wanted to do next. I just knew that marketing was in a downward trend, people laying off marketing people instead of hiring marketing people. I'd been doing the same thing for 20 years. And while I didn't want to give that up, I was looking for something new. And in your case, the thing that stuck with me is you said, it's okay to have more than one business. Now, maybe that sounds silly, but nobody had ever told me that. I'd feel guilty if I was giving up one business and going and starting another. It's like having a mistress or something here. And this may sound silly to anybody listening, but that opened up my eyes more than anything else. It was one of those realization moments here that I needed to hear.
Well, I'm certainly not going to support advocating having a mistress. I mean,
I thought that's where this was leading. I was going to play this for my wife, and said, Doug said it's okay.
Yeah, no, you're not going to play that. But the point is that, you know, many times the things that we're passionate about, we don't see. We put them away. You know, we put the child away. We put the idea of having fun away. And Paul, in your own case, I can just remember the way your voice changed, the way the expression on your face changed, and the stress lines went away when you started talking about, I'm going to be a disc jockey and this is okay.
which I had been 20 years ago. I was a real disc jockey after I came out of college, and then for a variety of reasons got out of that back at WMYK, K94 back in Virginia. So it was recapturing some of that youth and maybe fulfilling something that I had left behind. So it was wonderful, and I'll let you continue. But it, for me, I still don't know what an executive coach does, but I know when you do it, it has an impact.
Well, if you want to generalize, people tend to break coaching into two categories. Okay. They break it into life coaches or business coaches.
Okay.
A life coach generally would help you with personal problems, personal issues. Maybe I'm making a career transition, those kinds of things.
Okay.
You tend to think of that. A business coach is somebody that's going to help me with my business problems and my business issues. Now, frankly, I don't really like that definition, because I think my clients are attracted to me because I have business experience and have dealt with the issues that they've dealt with.
Right. You were an executive with the Irvine Company prior to that, and you've done a lot of stuff in building, I know, and other businesses and stuff through the years. So.
Right. I've had a number of startup companies. So they think that that's going to make me a better coach. Now, you know what? The coaching I'm going to do for them doesn't really relate to my business experience. It relates to my experience as a coach.
Right.
Now, I will say that sometimes I step out of role and somebody says, well, what would you do? Or how did you handle this when you ran your companies or when you started your companies? And it's like, okay, time out. I'm stepping out of my coaching role and I'm now a consultant, and I'll share that with you. But in my mind, they're two very different things, even though they may happen in the same conversation. The reason I don't like the distinction between business coaching and life coaching is that it's very seldom that after a while of coaching someone on their business issues, that we don't at some point in the conversation end up talking about some of the issues they're having outside the office.
I'll bet, because particularly for small business owners like myself, those two are always interrelated. You know, it's hard to, it's my work doesn't stop at 5 o'clock. Like people with a traditional job. So, yes, my personal life and my professional life are interwoven together.
And, you know, that kind of gets to maybe the primary reason that I got involved in coaching is that, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I had a business that I was in love with. It gave me a lot of satisfaction. I got a lot of enjoyment out of what I did. I don't think I ignored my family completely. But looking back on it, as my kids grew up and left home and I looked at what I was doing, I think I could have had a better life balance between work and home that would have given me more enjoyment. And so part of my goal in coaching and part of my goal in my executive forums facilitation is I really want to help people achieve a better life balance. And I don't think that means that you have to sacrifice anything in the way of business success.
So you mean you can have it all? You can have both parts? I always thought it's a zero-sum game. As your business grows, your personal life suffers there.
Well, see, there's the fallacy in thinking. Let's change that perspective right now. I didn't realize you had two lives, Paul. you're talking as if you have a business life and a personal life. And to my understanding, you're living one life and aging daily on it.
Very good. That's a good point. And yet we're taught from the time I started in business that you have almost two separate personas. You know, there's my business persona, and then there's my let my hair down, be my regular kind of self. My father was one way. He was with Chrysler Corporation for 40 years, and he was two different people. He was an executive by day and, you know, whatever else, dad and family man by night. So that's the way I grew up, that you were supposed to be two different people.
Well, and you know, frankly, that's one of the issues that are one of the thought processes that causes so much trouble in the business world today in looking at the Gen X and Gen Yers. Mm-hmm. Because the baby boomers look at them and say, you know, they're mixing their life. Mm-hmm. They're mixing their lives. Mm-hmm. They think that during the work hours, they shouldn't be off at the kids' soccer game.
Yeah, right.
They shouldn't be on the cell phone talking about what's going on at home with the rest of the family. And and I think the Gen X and Yers have hit it right on the head in that it's one life, and let's balance it. And if I'm happy with my family outside of work life, I'm going to be a better employee, a better manager, a better CEO. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that, okay, let's explore that. Do companies embrace that? You've done work for some big corporations, not just people in the building industry, but other companies out there I know. You go in and sell that message to the CEO, the owner of this company, that you're going to help him achieve that balance, or you're going to have his employees achieve that integration of their personal and business life. Is that something they want to hear, or is that something they fight?
You know, it's something that they probably didn't expect when they called me in to talk to them the first time. Typically, if I'm called into a company that's never used a coach before, they're calling me in because they're having some communication problems. The management team isn't communicating. They've got employees that are a problem, or they've got an employee that looks to be a superstar and they want to know how to take advantage of. So I'm called in to work on those kind of issues. And in the first meeting, I sort of lay out the ground rules and let them know that, by the way, I will coach your management team, your employees, on the topic that we're going to agree on. I will coach them on that once the three of us sit down together and we all agree that they want to be coached on it, mm-hmm. in addition, you wanting them to be coached.
Yeah, right.
But the other thing is that besides doing that, I will coach them on anything else that they bring up, including the fact that they might be unhappy with working here or for you. Mm-hmm. And if that means I'm coaching them to understand that that's an issue, and that they might be better off someplace else, so be it. And, you know,
very interesting what you uncover as you get in there. You come in thinking you're just going to solve this human relations problem, and it turns out that the problem is them, you know, the company itself or something here.
Or isn't the problem always us?
Yeah, right.
You know, so once we discover that, they go, well, I can't believe that you might, in fact, encourage this employee to leave. And my point is, wouldn't you be better off having them gone if, in fact, they weren't happy here and they weren't fully productive and their head wasn't in the game?
Yeah, right.
You know, so that's what we talk. The other thing is that in a corporate environment, I have to be sure to make it clear that you're not going to get any reports from me on the coaching. My coaching with the employees is confidential.
Okay.
And they always go, well, then how do I know you're doing a good job, Doug?
Yeah, right.
And my response is, look at the employee. If you don't see the change in behavior that you're asking me to coach them on, then it's not working.
Right.
The only thing that I will give you as feedback is I will tell you the minute I feel it's a waste of my time and your money coaching this person. Mm-hmm. I may not tell you why, but I will tell you immediately that, hey, this isn't working. We aren't a good match.
They're not willing to change. They're not willing to put the work in or listen or whatever it is. Yeah.
That's almost going too far. I'm just going to tell them it's not working and I'm no longer coaching the person.
How long let's talk about some of the specifics here. We've got a couple minutes left. What is the normal time frame for a coach? Do you stay on retainer forever? Is it done by project? Is it done on a monthly basis? And how do you set it up, and how long does a typical session last with a company?
The answer to all those questions is yes, yes, and yes.
However they want to do it. Okay.
You know, I do a number of different kinds of coaching. On coaching individuals, sometimes I coach them on the phone, and I never meet them. Hmm. I have people that I've coached around the country, and we talk on the phone once a week for a half hour or an hour, or maybe twice a month for an hour. I have people that I coach face-to-face where I'm in their office and we may be coaching, again, weekly or every other week. Mm-hmm. And I have situations where I'm in corporations where I will spend a day there coaching 6-7 people during that day. Sometimes my coaching in a corporate environment extends into being involved in management meetings to observe the interaction between the people. Mm-hmm. It may involve outside of coaching, but sort of related, because I get so involved with what's going on. I may facilitate their strategic planning. I may do some employee development training programs. And sometimes it's on a project basis, and sometimes it's just come in and help us get better. I mean, I have clients, corporate clients, that I have been coaching in their company for over 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You know. Obviously not on the same thing we started.
Yeah, on a regular basis? You go and meet them on a monthly or quarterly or yearly basis or something?
Yes.
Okay.
I have other clients that the more typical corporate engagement might be 2 years, once a month with a group, and weekly maybe individually with the people that are part of the management team. Mm-hmm. I have individual clients that I'll coach them intently for maybe 6 months or a year, and they go away, the issue's resolved, and then they're back 6 months or a year later with something else. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll just tell you that one of the requirements of becoming a coach by almost any of the coaching schools is that you hire your own coach, with the idea that if you're going to do this, you better be on the other side of the table, like, and see what it feels like.
Like therapists have to have their own therapist.
That would be the same sort of thing. And I'll tell you that I'm very fortunate. When I first started my training 14 years ago, I met a wonderful woman who was the trainer for CTI, and I hired her as my personal coach. And we started out with weekly sessions. She is still my coach. We talk twice a month, and it's a relationship I wouldn't give up. It keeps me sane and focused and centered on what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, it's a world that I don't think many people out there know exists. Are there lots of coaches in Orange County? Is this something? Are there dozens, hundreds, thousands? How many coaches could I find in Orange County?
There are thousands of coaches everywhere. My advice to anybody looking for a coach is if you don't know of someone that has used them and has personal experience, then maybe the next best thing is hiring a coach who is certified. That gives you some degree of comfort as to their credibility. The Orange County chapter of the International Coaching Federation has a website.
Okay.
ICF-OC Orange County.
Give that again.
I'm not going to give you the exact. I can't think of what it is. But if you look up International Coach Federation Orange County or Orange County Coaching Association, you'll find it.
Okay.
You can just Google it. And on their site, they've got a find a coach feature where anybody can put in the type of coaching that they're looking for, the type of coach they want, or the type of issue they're having, and then search for coaches and then talk to them.
Okay. Well, I know you were a past president organization here in Orange County. And
Last year.
Okay. How many people are in that organization? Are there hundreds or dozens? Or I have no sense of how big it is.
I would say the active membership is probably around 50 people. But, you know, if you look at the International Coaching Federation, you're talking, I think the last conference I went to was something like 10, 12,000 people.
Wow. So there are a lot of people making money at this. Okay. Well, there's certainly a need for it these days. You know, we once upon a time thought we all knew the answers, and then along came 9/11 and the financial meltdown and the energy changes and 1,000 things that are upsetting the old paradigms. And I know that in your work with CEO peer groups and monthly forums, in your coaching, that's a topic that comes up a lot. You know, it's nobody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. Nobody has the answers anymore here. And it seems like more than ever people are looking to reach out and help figure out, what is this new paradigm? What are we going to do different? You know, what is the future going to be? Where do you think? I'll ask you this question. It's one of my favorite questions. It's kind of the last question we'll talk about here. You know, is this just a 100-year storm that we've been going through, which means that it's a really bad storm and it only happens once every 100 years, but when it's over, the sun will come out, sun will shine, and everything's going to go back to the way it was? Or is business going to be somehow changed by everything that's happened over the last couple of years?
You know, I think the economic issues that we're going through right now are not the only issues that business is facing. Okay. I think the way in which we're going to be doing business in the future is going to be changed dramatically. And some of that is a result of the impact on the economy. But, you know, frankly, you look at the fact that the small businesses have always been responsible for pulling us out of economic downturns. Mm-hmm. Small businesses are the heart of the gross national product of our country. More and more people are, like yourself, starting their own businesses. More and more people have multiple businesses. Technology has allowed us to sit at home and be as efficient as if we were in a large corporate high-rise environment.
Yeah, more so in many cases, right?
Yeah. Some of the issues that we've had with travel, with crowding, with traffic congestion, concerns about terrorism, has caused more and more people to work in a virtual environment rather than physically together. So I don't think business is going to go back to the way it was. I think business is going to be this economic thing sort of caused a shakeup, which is going to have impacts in both technology and how people want to work and what they're spending their time doing completely.
Well, and I can tell from my own experience, anybody listening to this, that one of the things that is going to help you figure that out, and I think is going to become part of this new paradigm, is not working solo, but working with others, particularly coaches. I heartily endorse the product and the process. Anybody listening, how do they get in touch with you specifically if they like what they hear and want to talk to you about coaching in their own careers here, their own companies?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is to go to our website, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness, that's F-O-R, business.com. And on that site, you can look for the coaching perspective or look for me, and you can find out more about our coaching services. If for some reason you feel the need to use a telephone.
What's the telephone? Is that still out
there? The number is 714-963-0929.
And all sorts of other ways. I know on your website, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. You guys are in the process of evolving, as we all are, and creating an online presence. So there's lots of ways to touch out and communicate with you guys here.
Yep, and of course, don't forget to listen to our radio show Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on octalkradio.net from 4 to 5.
Absolutely.
You can download the shows through iTunes.
So thrilled to have you guys move your show over to my new network. And really proud that it's a cornerstone of our afternoon programming each week. So thank you so much, Paul, for being here. And we invite everybody to tune in and to listen more to the West Coast Marketing Hour. Yeah.